Amen. Can we pick our Bibles and pick a text as we stand up, as the custom of the bride is worldwide? We want to pick a text, the bride worldwide. We stand up because it's our own way of demonstrating our total loyalty to the word. When the national anthem of any country is sung, everybody stands still and reverence, very reverently, to show loyalty to the nation, patriotism to the nation. So also, we of the heavenly kingdom, the word of our God, we also do something to show we have reverence for it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, and allow me to read about 9 or 10 verses there. Proverbs chapter 3, before we sit down, if we are there, from verse 13. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou can desire are not to be compared with her. Wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth wisdom, retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding has he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, my daughter, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Finally, when thou liest down, when you have wisdom, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And chapter 4 continues again. Amen. Praise God. Chapter 4 still continues to emphasize the same thing in chapter 3, verse 5. It says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom. Why am I emphasizing wisdom? We'll be talking about the Christian home. For today, I'll be looking at the topic entitled The Secret of a Peaceful Marriage. The secret of a peaceful marriage. There are Christian marriages that have no peace. No peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And for every product that is manufactured. Praise God. Every product that is manufactured, the manufacturer of that product has a user's guide. Am I correct? You have a user's guide. When GSM first started, you know, immediately you buy GSM phone, immediately you want to go straight to the user's guide because it was a new product, so that you will know how to use that gadget. Even when you buy a car, if you don't handle that car the way the manufacturer says you should handle it, amen, you will not enjoy that car. You will not enjoy that car. There are people that don't know how to maintain cars. They buy motor today. Check that motor. After 6 months, you will recognize that car. Whereas there are some that will even buy Tokumbo. 5 years after, it is still as good as a new car. Why? There is a wisdom they know how to maintain that car like that. So also, the inventor, the one that has instituted marriage, is God himself. And the manual that he has given us to enjoy marriage that he instituted himself. So, as long as you don't apply the wisdom to keep your marriage, you will have a turbulent marriage, though you're a Christian. And many Christians, they are married, but no peace. No peace. And there is nobody that will go into a marriage relationship that will not desire to have peace. Everyone that decides to go and marry, your number one prayer is that you will have a peaceful marriage, peaceful home. So, why are you not having peace? Remember, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the wisdom we want to talk about. Please, I speak here as a servant of God. And I speak here as one that has a responsibility to teach the people godly principles. I speak here myself. I am experienced in marriage. Having been married for about 28 years, with all the conditions, hallelujah, that can affect marriage, all, and yet, I did not allow it to affect my marriage. Praise God. By that, God has given me or put me in a position to advise others. Number one, for those of you who know very well, I continue to repeat it. And for those who may be hearing for the first time. Number one, I married to somebody from a different tribe. So, there will be cultural conflict. Certainly. Secondly, amen. I am the only son of my mother. All the rest are women. Therefore, I am supposed to be a tomboy. You know what I mean? Amen. If you are the only son, everybody, you become a center of attraction. Everybody is interested. This is the only son we have. We don't want any woman to come and mess him up. Instead of you to come and marry for village, you can't go marry for woman. So this one now. So that threat was there. And we married for 20 years, no child. All the odds were against us. Praise the Lord. And then God allowed me that I married as an unbeliever before I got converted. So, I have something I can tell you can benefit from. It is on that authority I am speaking today. Praise the Lord. I didn't also add that I am a very stubborn man. For a woman to live with me, Why? Because I have a nature of doing what is in my mind and nothing can stop me. You know me? Where you know me? You mean my wife? Praise God. So, then also, you can see that from childhood, I was brought up a military man. We are taught to be very proud. And then, we live by authority and command. No arguments. So, I put all this together. Then, I can say, I haven't gone through it for the past 28 years. I say, I have a successful marriage. You can't talk of success until there were tests. That despite all this, number one, we are still together 28 years after. Despite all this, my marriage is even sweeter now than before. Abby? No, if what I'm saying is true, can you wait? No. See, I'm there. Praise God. So anything I tell you from practical experience, not reading a book and reproducing it to you. Because marriage is practical. Practical. Therefore, anything I say, just put it in practice and see whether it will work or not. Because if it worked for me, it will work for you. Praise the Lord. You were married from the same village, the same culture. The day you marry your own, that day your wife get belay, some of you get belay even before the day of marriage. So Pekin is not your problem. So why are you not having a peaceful marriage? Remember, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Let's read some scriptures. Remember, Genesis chapter 2, and we read verse 24. And take note of some points there. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Actually, to me, Genesis 2:24 is the meaning of marriage. That is the definition of marriage. To me. Don't ask me what is the meaning of marriage. The meaning of marriage is Genesis 2:24. What is it? He said, therefore shall a man, somebody shout man. Let the man shout man. Thank you. Number one, you have to be a man first. And there's a qualification of a man. A man is not just by gender. That you have masculine features. It's not the man referred to here. A man, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A man is one that is complete in everything. Remember, hallelujah, that it was God first formed the man. But that man that he said man, had some special features, some special attributes in him. And one of it was that there was He had the ability to reproduce himself, and that ability was in him, and God separated that aspect, removed it from him, and formed the woman. The truth is, the woman is part of the man. Amen. No man is complete without the woman. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Eh? The lawyer is saying something. Even in what? Pronunciation. Yes. Praise God. Except you, no woman can exist without the man, because the man is where you come from. That is your origin. That's where we come from. Now, he said, for this cause shall the man, and a man is one that is capable of taking responsibility for his actions. A man, amen, does not blame another person for his failure. A man does not say, now because of bad friends, why are they follow? Now him, I come be waiting I be now. If to say I know, I for know, you are not a man. Amen. A man is known for his independence. And that's why when he reaches a stage in your life, you are quick that you know that you should be independent. It flows naturally. There are certain actions you begin to take that the parents will begin to interpret it to know that this one now, this my son, don't become man. And some of them will even give you quit notice from their house. A man. That word man is so important. There are some people that are not yet man and they want to get married. You will have problem because marriage is for men. Eh? Can I see the man here? Amen. Now listen. And a man, you are not a man because you dish out orders up and down and people bow. That makes you a man. Praise God. That's not what makes you a man. It's more than that. Anyway, I'm leaving that for you to go and find out, because that's not my emphasis. But it is important you take note of it, that marriage is for men. You don't have a house of your own. You don't have an income of your own. Hallelujah. You are still dependent on your senior brother, your father, your mother. You are not yet a man. Because he said, for this cause, that is, after he created the woman, that was why he said, for this cause, because the woman was brought up from the man, for this cause shall the man, for this cause, a part of you has been removed in somewhere. Marriage is locating that part of you to come back to make you to be complete. For this cause, in doing that, you will first leave your father and your mother. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and do what? Cleave, join, cling, glue, weld. Amen. Can I tell you something? After your marriage, praise the Lord, among everyone else you are related to, your wife is the most important human being on earth. Your wife becomes more important than your father, than your mother, than your brother, than your sister. Catch this revelation. For this cause shall a man leave. And when I say live there, you know what I mean. Amen. When I say live there, I'm talking to men. The men will understand me. Let the boys listen. The men will understand. Let the men follow. Amen. Leave your father and your mother. You know why I say this? I am an African. Amen. And we come, we are from societies where when you are getting married, your wife comes in and then your relations begin to see her as an intruder. The things you are enjoying from that man, the family members will begin to say, this woman don't come now. The man not to think of us again. That is the correct thing. You become secondary. Before she came, he had time for you. Now that he has found his completeness, he doesn't need to give you too much of attention anymore. His attention is first and foremost on the wife. He that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And he say, wife is even, he obtaineth favor from the Lord. From the Lord. Because without a wife, you are not complete, brother. You are not complete. So that you even found a wife is a favor from God. Adam would have been miserable, but God decided to give him a favor. Gave him an Eve. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. So, a proper man wants to watch that aspect. That after your marriage, your family stays away. When I say stay away, that is stop interfering. They are limited to giving you advice and enforcing nothing else after the marriage. They can join you to look for the wife. Because you are looking for all the people that love you, they will join you to look for. But when eventually you have found and you are now joined together, that is the end of the assignment as far as that relationship is concerned. They notice anything, they should be praying for you. That and then be giving you advice. That's all. Mark chapter 10 verse 9. He said that what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It's God that instituted it. Therefore, let no human be, let no father, let no mother, let no brother, let no sister scatter that relationship. The secret of a peaceful marriage is what we're looking at today. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from unnecessary marital problems. Because a joyful marriage, hallelujah, for a joyful marriage, the Bible commanded in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. It commanded us, praise the Lord. Let's read it, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Just that first statement there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 9. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he, God, has given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life. And in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun. A joyful marital life, the Bible says, is your portion on earth here. Possess your possession. Possess it. And remember, as believers, anything that is your portion, Satan will come after it. So you need some wisdom. Hallelujah. Every marriage wants success, wants peace. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the man leaves the father and mother. Number two. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. It's the next thing we look at. When you come into a union of the man and the wife, first and foremost, the pathway to peace is establishing headship, establishing leadership. There cannot be two captains in a boat. So God himself laid it out. The head of the woman is who? Once you come together, number one, establish headship. From where authority will flow. Authority will flow from the man. Authority will flow from the man. And remember, the man, amen, is not determined by his height or his financial standing or his strength. The man, in this case, is determined by the fact that he paid your dowry. Therefore, he is entitled to occupy the position of headship, no matter what situation, what condition he is. Even if he were crippled before he married you, you are married to a crippled. If that cripple has paid your bride price, that cripple is your head. Without controversy. Establish headship. Headship. Praise God. After you've established headship, establishing it is accepting it. And there's a posture of acceptance. Amen. He has the final say. He has the leadership role to play. A leader therefore has followers. The woman, you are to follow him. In the implementation, you are to follow him. Even if the idea comes, you will still follow him in the implementation, even though it is your idea. And so it has to do with followership. When you refuse this, you will have problem in that marriage. Because one attribute of a man is that he will not relegate his leadership position, relinquish it to a woman. That is what makes him also a man. He knows he is a man. And he recognizes you are a woman. So one thing is, the man will never relinquish his leadership position to a woman. That one is certain. No man does it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to say some things, but I wish my wife were not in the church now. I should say it. Then go and enter trouble for house. You are not serious. That's the kind of bad advice men receive. I enter trouble. Say it. Say, when I say I'm feeling, go follow me, go house. Praise the Lord. You know, I have a very interesting home. So there are a lot of pranks we play, my wife and I. Amen. Now, can I help you? Praise God. Those who grew up in my house, those children, they all envy our relationship. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So make sure that you don't take over from your husband, sister. Let him be the leader. You are the chief advisor. And an advisor is not a commander. You don't command him to follow what you told him. Say it and let him dissect it. Because even after you have told him, he wants to take responsibility for the action he will take as a result of your advice. So he will not be doing it because my wife said, make I do him. My wife said, make I do him. Sure, you should say you don't fail now. You say, make I do him. I say, you should say you don't fail now.
Now you say make I do am. A man will not talk like that. So when you tell him some things, he may not act immediately. He's pondering over it. Don't begin to attack him over it. Thirdly now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and 32 is something you must note after you have come together. It determines also how you live. This is how the Bible puts it. Verse 31, it says, it has been said in the law, in the Old Testament, even in your village, in your culture, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Go to court. Call your lawyer. Go to court to put away your wife. Verse 32. But, Jesus said, but I there, who is the one saying that I? And he has the final say. I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, caused her to do what? To commit adultery. That means, listen, the law is two-edged. You decided to throw away your wife, and because you threw her away, she goes and meets with another man, because no woman is comfortable without the presence of a man around her. She must be with a man. So if you reject her, she has to go to another man. The Bible is saying, if you do that, you are guilty also of sending her to commit adultery. Then the next statement, the last statement there, in that same verse, what does it say? He said, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. If you tie these two statements together, it means as far as the Bible is concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is concerned, once you are married, no divorce. Nowhere to hang on to. If you throw her away, you are guilty of throwing her away. But she must be with a man. If she goes also, the man that wants to marry you, if he knows that you have been thrown away by a man and he's going to pick you, that man is also partaker of your sin. He is also living in adultery. And all adulterers will end up in hell. And when we say hell, that hell begins from now. You have crucified and your peace forever. Trouble starts. Therefore, you have to have this at the back of your mind. That's why, single brother, single sister, before you make up your mind, always know the consequence of your decision. No divorce. Except, he says, you catch her in fornication. You catch her with another man, the Bible permits you to put her away. And of course, when you put her away, you can marry another one. And if you put her away and go and marry another woman, even if she's a virgin, you go and marry her, the Bible looks at you as an adulterer. Praise God. You cannot divorcee. You cannot remarry when your husband is alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you are to be joined together until death do us part. The Bible says so. Hallelujah. Number four. Secret of a peaceful marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. When he's saying that, as unto the Lord, what does that mean? He's saying that the same way you submit yourself to God is the same way you submit yourself to your husband. Nobody argues with your Lord. Don't call anybody your Lord until you accept what he says as final. So use your relationship with God to determine how you relate with your husband. Is it everything you ask God to give you that he gives you? Eh? Sister, nobody had to talk to my sisters. Sister, answer me now. Is it every prayer point you ask God that he answers immediately? Some he doesn't even answer at all. Some he answers immediately. Some he does not answer immediately. Now because of that, you will say you don't go to church again. Eh? Because of that, you don't be Christian again. You don't go be a palo. He say, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. Therefore, don't stand and begin to abuse your husband because you asked him to do something for you and he didn't do it. Because you can't do that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit as unto the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. In that same scripture, if you read it down, amen. The husbands also, you have your own. For the, okay, that is the reason. All right, it's okay. Verse 23 says, for the husband, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. That is why you must submit yourself. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The husband, your husband is your savior. Don't be me talking. Sister, your husband is your savior. Oh, Sister Clara will sing, if it had not been for Moses, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that Moses brought me out. But I'm always singing to her too. I have a song I always sing to her. Any day she brings the camp food where I like. You know the song I always sing. I'm so glad I'm married to Clara. I'm married to Clara. I'm married to my... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, you see, as, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in some things. Eh? In what? Everything. Everything is everything. Now, the husbands now, verse 25. Husbands, uncle, love your wives. We are going back to Christ again. Even as Christ also loved the church and died for the church. Gave himself for it. So, you must so love your wife that you'll be ready to die for her. Do you understand? You'll be ready to die for your wife. If not, you are not a man. See, do you know what it means to die for her? If you look at that scripture very well, that scripture is not... Listen carefully, men. Can I see the men I'm talking to? Oh, there are many. Okay, put down your hand. Any boy here? Tom boy. Listen. When I say you must be ready to die. To die. There is a principle. Listen, church. There is a principle of life. The principle of life that God himself instituted is, for something to have life, one other thing must die. Amen. For you to have protein and be healthy, the abattoirs kill cows every day. If that cow didn't die, you won't have protein. If that chicken don't die, you won't have protein. That's why for us to have life, for man to have life, one man had to come and die. See how he died. He was falsely accused. But he didn't argue. False accusation. He didn't claim his right. He was beaten. He did not beat back with all the power he had. I'm talking to a man. What that scripture, I understand from that scripture is that there are certain aspects of you for the sake of the peace of that relationship that it will have to die. That is why I say you will have to be turned to a mumu. Actions you should take. The most powerful man that exists in the universe, that will speak you out of existence. He has the power, but they slapped him. He was crying and he didn't slap back. The Lord Jesus. Why? He was looking for something. He said, pursue peace with all men. If you are going to pursue peace, it goes with a price. If you're going to have peace in your marriage, there must be a price to be paid. So you must be ready to die. When you are there arguing with your wife, argue, you are only creating problems for yourself. A man is one that has the ability to bear with that woman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And you will notice something. Let's go read verse 25. That's verse 25 again. Let's read that scripture again. Hallelujah. He said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26. That this is the reason he did it. That he might sanctify and cleanse his wife, the church, with the washing of the water by the word. That he, why was he doing it? That he might present that church to who? To himself. He was preparing the church for himself. A glorious, beautiful woman. Not having spots. Not having wrinkle. Or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. I picked something from there, I have told you before. Therefore, when you marry, I have told you, my brother, you the man, when you marry a woman, you are not marrying a perfect person. It is you that make her to be what you want her to be. Do you understand? I'm talking from Bible, though. I'm speaking from Bible. I am telling you today, if your wife is wild, you are the one that made her wild. If your wife gossips in the neighborhood, now you curse her. When you marry her, while you are doing courtship, there are a lot of things you will not know because you are not living together. And secondly, because she was not yet settled with you. Oh, there will be some things that she will have to bear. But after she married, now everything will come out. It is then. You are not to say this woman deceived me. Why I don't see this aspect? It's because it was not yet time to know that aspect of the woman. Every aspect you do not like becomes a focal point for you. You have to work on that area. If you have a woman that is quick temper, then you begin to work on it. What is it that aggravates this woman? Because she's not a mad person. There is something that triggers off the anger. And she cannot control it. My mother-in-law told me one time. He said, Moses, come in my house. Moses, come. When you see your wife angry, no join and vex. Just go now. So, Papa, they do me. Just go say, okay, now, I'm sorry now. Okay, I'm sorry. Say, pet her. He said, she pet her like this. She goes, just cool. And she's hearing this for the first time today. She's hearing it for the first time today. That's why I wish she not here now. See, when she boils, she's angry, she's been offended. Amen. When she's offended, then I began to apply it once in a while. Especially when I want something from her. If I don't want anything, I can pretend. I say, you don't pay me, you don't pay me, you don't pay me. Hallelujah. But if I want something, especially that time where I don't get money, and I just say she get money, let me go lose. But you know, they are not foolish. After I have collected the money, the next time she'll say, it happened again. The Christ say, I know it's that money you are looking for. That's why you are coming. It's that money. And I threw out the money. I said, no, no, no. It's not because of the money. Ah, why? Why? It's not because of the money. But inside of me, that money. Amen. You need something, then you pay the price for it. Including humbling yourself. Whether you are guilty or not, you need peace. Therefore, okay, even though now you offend me, I'm sorry.